The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Think Outside the Big Box. A former Kmart in Raleigh is one of many big box stores proposed to be reimagined as developers respond to changes in retail. And the story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Big Boxes Make Big Leaps to New Uses. Attention, former Kmart shoppers, the new blue light specials might be pickleball or even a hip twist on mini golf. A Kmart at 4500 Western Boulevard in Raleigh has sat vacant since 2018 on one of the last underdeveloped sites in the Triangle. Now, that's about to change. Real estate firm CityPlat is breathing new life into the former Kmart after purchasing it in January with plans to make the big box into at least five separate retail suites. CityPlat says it has three letters of intent signed with active and entertainment tenants to the building, many of whom will have food and beverage components. CityPlat plans to pour $5 to $6 million into renovations at the site. The location is second to none in the Triangle, CityPlat partner Vincenzo Verdino said. Because of that, retailers have shown tremendous interest, Verdino said, and even pickleball operators are part of the conversation. Some of the interest has also come from national retailers looking to break into the Triangle. The verdict is still out on whether CityPlat will be successful with its Kmart plan. The firm has other projects that have yet to come to fruition in the Triangle, including a high-profile location on Raleigh's Hillsborough Street. But they see an opportunity to reinvigorate a stale space, something that many property owners are aiming to do across the Triangle as a slew of national retail closures hit the region. The local retail vacancy was at 5.74% during fourth quarter 2024, the lowest it's been in the past five quarters, according to Triangle Business Journal's Space publication. Retail space is still in high demand, but the market is shifting as traditional stores such as Kmart and Office Depot and the big boxes that house them give way to retail options with an experience that shoppers can't find online. We have lost a host of tenants that are in entertainment and hospitality, Verdino said. We think there is just such a need for those types of uses, for things that families and people can do on the weekends or at night, and that was really what we've been trying to curate for the center. The developers eventually want to rezone the property and develop up to 20-story buildings, but that's a decade down the road. In the meantime, they want to create a destination place. There are a number of users that have reached out to us that we could have charged more for rent or that we could have signed leases a lot faster on, but we wanted to get a great ecosystem and dynamic for the center, Verdino said. The building height, 18 feet, and depth, 209 feet, as well as the column spacing made it ideal for a conversion to multi-use. CityPlat did consider other options. In the rest of the country, self-storage is a popular choice for reusing vacant big box retail, Verdino said. When CityPlat was under contract for the Kmart property, the firm's initial plan was to convert it to flex or small bay industrial space. That turned out to be an expensive idea, not to mention some zoning issues, Verdino said. It's been just this void in the marketplace for so long, Verdino said. Big year for retail closures. 2025 is shaping up to be a big year for retail closures nationwide, with ripple effects happening in the Triangle. Joann Incorporated is liquidating all of its more than 800 fabric and craft stores around the country, resulting in three of its stores closing in May in Raleigh, Cary, and Durham. On the heels of its announcement that 1,200 of its stores would close in the coming years, at least two Walgreens in Raleigh and Durham have already hit the chopping block. Nightdale has lost an Office Max, while Party City has lost 21 stores in North Carolina as part of liquidation after 40 years in business. Five Triangle Party City leases went to auction, with Books a Million and Five Below nabbing some of those leases already. Meanwhile, Variety Wholesalers of Henderson has purchased a number of Big Lots stores and with the intent to operate them following Big Lots Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing in September. Core Site Research estimates that 15,000 stores will close in 2025 across the country, while only 5,800 stores will open. According to the research firm, 7,325 stores closed in 2024, while 5,970 stores opened. That's the highest number of openings since 2012, when CoreSite began tracking store openings and closures, and the highest number of closings since 2020, when the pandemic drove nearly 10,000 stores to close. What used to be a classic traffic driver is no longer a traffic driver, said Katrin Gielens, a UNC Chapel Hill professor whose research focuses on retail. She said consumers are still doing most of their shopping in person, even with the omnipresence of online shopping. And now, more than ever, shoppers want convenience, especially if they're taking time to drive to a physical store. When you walk in, it means that you probably are also going to spend or waste quite a bit of time trying to find just those couple of items that you need. That doesn't resonate anymore, she said. Retailers are following the growth of the triangle. If you just look at the past couple of years, almost every grocery retailer that you can think of on the East Coast has moved into this area, Gielens said. Shoppers need an experience. Party Shack, a homegrown indoor entertainment venue with mini golf and other attractions, has taken a former Petco at Capital Marketplace, as well as a former bounce house venue at Celebration at Six Forks. The business also replaced a Winn-Dixie in a Greensboro shopping center with multiple vacancies. I feel like that shopping center in Greensboro propped up because of us. They saw that we were getting so much traction on the weekends. Our weekends are stupid crazy, said Dante Valor, marketing director at Party Shack. And landlords are clamoring for Party Shack to come to their shopping centers. The brand has grown its social media presence to 80,000 followers in a year and a half. Party Shack's leases in North Raleigh and Charleston, South Carolina, which will be the company's fifth in 5 years, were a result of landlords reaching out to the business. We've been told by several of them, you're all over our social media. That's how we found you, Valor said. Valor, V-A-L-O-R. Valor declined to disclose the rent Party Shack pays for any of its locations. Whether it's mini golf, restaurants, fitness, entertainment, bookstores, groceries, or soft goods, Gielens said, there's one key factor that a successful retail store has, an experience. An experience is a very important traffic driver for most retail locations, so there is a big influx of those type of players, she said. Another way to think about it, there has to be an appeal for the treasure hunters. That's why Gielens thinks TJ Maxx and Home Goods are so successful. Not only do they maintain a fairly low price point, but they satisfy customers who are looking for that random gold cactus statue or slippers bearing their college team's favorite logo. It's also something that you cannot find online necessarily because you don't even know what you're going to find. It's just nice to really look for it and find something that really resonates with you, Gielens said. Bookstores are making a comeback because they're places where people can attend events, enjoy a coffee, and browse physical books in a time when where many are trying to cut back on screen time, according to Gielens. Other retailers are taking the hint as well. Retailers are very actively infusing that into their stores because it brings elements that you cannot find anywhere in the digital world, Gielens said. The experiential component is an area Gielens believes Joann Incorporated missed some opportunities, as the retailer did not put effort into hosting events, workshops, and communal gatherings. Without them, retailers become stale and, ironically, less creative. It's almost more of a marketing mistake rather than a retail mistake, she said. The owner's perspective. Marty Sweeney with M&J Wilco has seen the Chicago firm's shopping center in Knightdale lose retailers and, put simply, replace them with better ones. M&J bought the center, now known as Knightdale Marketplace, in 2019, betting on the growth of eastern Wake County. At the time, tenant Dick's Sporting Goods had fallen behind on its rent. Academy Sports and Outdoors approached M&J Wilco, and the landlord ended up signing Academy to a 15-year lease to replace Dick's. That kind of created a little bit of a domino effect, Sweeney said. M&J renamed the shopping center to Knightdale Marketplace. Home Goods replaced Overstock. Off-price retailer Burlington, formerly Burlington Co. Factory, replaced one of the center's two pet stores on a 10-year lease. Bed Bath & Beyond was backfilled as well. Sweeney is now eyeing Office Max, a retailer in the slowly dying business of office supplies. M&J Wilco is taking the space back at the end of Office Max's lease at the end of November. Sweeney already has identified national retailers to take its place. We knew there was a pent-up demand because we had just gone through backfilling some anchor space on the other side of the center, so it was a strategic decision, knowing that we had more anchor tenant interest than we could accommodate, said Christy Webb, broker with the Providence Group, which leases Knightdale Marketplace. Retail demand, Sweeney said, is as strong as it's ever been in my 35-year career. Likely options to replace Office Max include a grocer, gym, or even a bookstore. There's a little bit of a mini renaissance in bookstores, so I'd love to see a bookstore show up, Sweeney said. Knightdale Marketplace's location makes it a regional draw for shoppers. That, combined with the residential growth in Knightdale, has placed it in M&J's top three properties in terms of retail performance and potential. When we first bought it, our average rents in the small shop spaces were probably, say, $25 per square foot. Now, when I have a vacancy in the small shop space, we're asking in the low $40 per square foot, Sweeney said. While national closure trends may turn out to be negative for the retail market this year, Sweeney is chalking most of those closures up to specific operators rather than the retail market being doomed as a whole. I've been waiting for Joann's to go out of business for 10 years, Sweeney said. The Broker Perspective. Webb and Reagan Crabtree at the Providence Group lease Knightdale Marketplace. According to Crabtree, retail submarkets set the tone for how in-demand and empty space will be. The broker said the strength of the Triangle economy as a whole is attracting plenty of national retailers, including Burlington, Barnes & Noble, Planet Fitness, and other fitness companies who are actively searching now. Sprouts Farmers Market is another business on the prowl for 20,000 to 25,000 square foot spaces that become available. Any time that a landlord can add a grocery component into a center, that's a pretty attractive avenue for them to explore, Crabtree said, given there are no restrictions from the other major tenants. Some of the retailers that were active over the past 24 months are in a wait-and-see mode with the tariff situation. We feel confident that it'll work itself out pretty quickly, and there has been a lot of pent-up demand in our market for these folks that have not been able to secure space because we've had such low vacancy, Crabtree said, adding that many premier sites have 2 to 3 letters of intent. Oftentimes, when a shopping center has a lineup of national anchors, that comes with restrictions that prohibit entertainment uses from joining the tenant mix. The landlords would need consent from the other businesses before signing them. A decade ago, entertainment tenants were not as desirable given the amount of parking they take. Now, more centers are welcoming entertainment uses along with fitness. Both uses drive foot traffic to other businesses in the center, Webb said. The Providence Group brokered the deal with Pins Mechanical Bowling at Seaboard Station. Crabtree said 2 to 3 pickleball companies have been circling the Raleigh area searching for space. Still, landlords may still be opting for the safe bets over fun in the future. Given that there are traditional soft goods retailers that are actively seeking those spaces, most of your landlords are going to take the path of least resistance, Crabtree said. But depending on the location of certain retail centers, the demand is still high. The more regional places, like the Briar Creeks and the White Oaks of the world, Crabtree said, are going to have 2 to 3 tenants lined up to take those spaces. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Kane's project watches L.A. model. Hollywood Park in Los Angeles has ambitions similar to Lenovo Center. A massive project rising in Los Angeles could be an example of where the development around the Lenovo Center is headed. Demetra Thornton, as the co-lead of Gensler's Raleigh office, is playing a key role in the project after the Centennial Authority selected Gensler and LS3P to lead the design in 2024. Thornton said to expect more residential and retail and still some office around the Lenovo Center, as well as hotel space. Much of this could be in place when the NCAA tournament returns in 2028 for the East Regional. The goal is always to be aggressive, she said. Also planned are additions that will help attract more major concerts, such as expanded capacity for the loading dock and better space for performers backstage. The improved space at the loading dock is especially important as time is precious for major shows bouncing from town to town. Once a promoter says, "I can get in and out quickly," they want to come back and they'll tell their friends, Thornton said. She said two projects in Los Angeles provide some examples. One is LA Live, the downtown arena and entertainment complex that is the home of the Lakers, Kings, and Sparks. The other is the Hollywood Park complex rising around SoFi Stadium, the home to the National Football League's Rams and Chargers. Hollywood Park opened its first restaurant in December, and it ultimately could have up to 5 million square feet of office space, 890,000 square feet of retail space, a 300-room hotel, and as many as 2,500 residences. Thornton sees similar opportunity in Raleigh, with a complex that appeals to young professionals as well as others, such as empty nesters who want easy access to amenities and a short walk to the arena. Forever 21 closings will be felt in Triangle. Forever 21 isn't, well, forever, after all. The company, based in Los Angeles, announced March 16 that as part of a bankruptcy procedure, it will have an orderly wind down of its stores. Forever 21 has stores at Crabtree Valley Mall and the streets at South Point. Fresh Market roars back in expansion mode. Just a few years ago, Fresh Market was closing stores and struggling to keep pace with competitors, but now the Greensboro company is in expansion mode after returning to its roots of being a European-style specialty brand. CEO Brian Johnson told Triad Business Journal that he expects to open at least 8 stores this year. Oh, and Fresh Market is even launching a new venture involving adult beverages. It just opened its first spirits and wine store in Pontevedra Beach, Florida. Turns out college students love cookies. Students at NC State University are getting a couple of appealing options along Hillsborough Street. Opening March 21 is a new Crumble, a cookie franchise out of Utah that has grown rapidly. And ahead on Hillsborough Street is a Raising Cane's, a fast food chain out of Louisiana. Both are popular on college campuses, and the new Raising Cane's in Chapel Hill has been a hit with University of North Carolina students. And finally, plans for a new Museum of History continue. Raleigh is a lovely town that sometimes swings and misses. It clung to a dumpy convention center before demolishing it in 2006. It closed Fayetteville Street for too long. Even in 1792, it plotted a state capitol on land with no water. The Museum of History is sort of like that. The new museum opened to great expectations in 1994, but much of the space is open and airy and not devoted to exhibitions, to seem rather than to be. But now the building is closed and plans are underway for a refresh. The 150,000 artifacts are being crated and stored off-site, and a major revamp is underway. The building is expected to reopen in a few years. Should be fun to see. But in the meantime, don't let Richard Petty's car get scratched. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. Seaboard Station to open new distillery. Boatman Spirits targets growing community near William Peace University. And this is written by Kate Tracy. Acorn Amaro, the last cocktail served on the Titanic, punch romaine, and Japanese pickling techniques used to make martini garnishes. That's just a small taste of what guests can expect at Raleigh's new distillery at Seaboard Station in 2 months. The experienced team behind Boatman Spirits Company, Jeremy Pritchard, George Naim, Zach Thomas, and Aaron Lambert, plan to open the distillery, cocktail bar, and restaurant in May at 1713 Seaboard Station Drive in the mixed-use development off Peace Street. We just really like the little pocket neighborhood that it's creating over there, and it's right next to William Peace University and immediately next to downtown. I think it's going to be one of those shopping districts that people try and get into, Thomas said. The 7,000-square-foot venue will feature a 240-gallon copper still and ceilings and arches that mimic a Roman aqueduct. Guests will enjoy street-style Mediterranean food and an extensive list of cocktails. Pritchard, who holds a degree in bioprocessing sciences from NC State University, will be the head distiller. Thomas is a well-recognized bartender in the Triangle after stints at Foundation, the Crunkleton, and Killjoy. Being a part of the spirits-making process is a natural next step for him from a culinary perspective. It just allows us a lot of opportunities with flavors that I get pretty excited about versus me working in a dark closet cooking syrups with hot water and sugar, Thomas said. Meanwhile, Lambert helped open Whiskey Kitchen and currently manages Transfer Food Hall in downtown Raleigh. Naim opened Riviera Mediterranean Resto and Lounge, which closed in 2008. Originally, the plan was to open a 4,000-square-foot bar and cocktail room, but the team ultimately decided on a bigger space to prioritize the food alongside the spirits and cocktails. We didn't want it to be an afterthought, Thomas said. Advance Auto Tower sells for nearly $140 million. This is written by Kaylee Thompson. The Advance Auto Parts Tower in North Hills has sold for close to $140 million as a Raleigh real estate firm makes another big bet on the Triangle market. Highwoods Properties closed on the acquisition of the tower at 4200 Six Forks Road on March 18, paying $138 million for the fully leased office tower, according to Wake County deed records. The closing comes 2 weeks after the Real Estate Investment Trust announced plans to buy the building. Lionstone Investments of Houston was the seller. It developed the tower in a partnership with Kane Realty Corporation of Raleigh. Highwoods used the proceeds from the $145 million sale of an office campus in Tampa Bay to purchase the building. The 20-story tower is 346,000 square feet and fully leased, according to Highwoods, with Advance Auto Parts as the anchor tenant. It is projected to produce cash net operating income of $11 million and GAAP net operating income of $11.9 million in the first four quarters after the acquisition, according to a lease from Highwoods. It's near the 16-story CapTrust Tower that Highwoods acquired in 2021 for $142.5 million. SC Bank eyes opportunities in hot carry market. This is written by Lauren Onasorge. Banks are zeroing in on the carry opportunity. That includes United Community Bank, a South Carolina firm that entered the Triangle with its purchase of Four Oaks FinCorp. 8 years after its Four Oaks buy, the bank has finally opened its first branch in Cary, located at 1105 Hatches Pond Lane. It's the fifth branch for the bank in Wake County, but it faces intense competition from day one. Cary, with a median household income above $125,000 and a population that's racing toward 200,000, is dominated by big banks, with Wells Fargo and Bank of America combined holding about half of the local deposits, according to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Rounding out the top five banks in the town are First Citizens Bank, PNC, and Fifth Third Bank. But banks outside of those leaders have recognized the pull of carry in recent years, making for an even more competitive arena. J.P. Morgan Chase has been expanding aggressively in the town and now holds 3.7% of the market, despite being non-existent in carry just a few years ago. Jim Rose, state leader for United Community, said the town's demographics make it easy to see the business opportunity. Carry is such a thriving, very successful market, and we just felt like we needed to be here, he said. United's new branch officially opened March 17 after years of planning. Leading the new branch is seasoned banker Mauricio Montano, who joins United from Fifth Third Bank, where he was a financial center manager in Cary. As with most real estate projects, cost inched up from what United had been projecting when it first planned the build in the midst of the pandemic. And our last top news item is written by Lauren Onasorge. Cuts at EPA could impact hundreds of local jobs. Key RTP office among those targeted to be dismantled as Trump reduces federal jobs. The Trump administration is taking aim at potentially hundreds of jobs at a huge government complex in Research Triangle Park, a division of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency known as the Office of Research and Development, or ORD, could be dismantled as the administration continues to hack away at the federal workforce. The EPA, which has about 1,300 employees in RTP, did not immediately return a request to comment on the potential cuts and the local impact, but RTP holds one of the main sites for the Office of Research and Development. The New York Times reported March 18 that the EPA plans to fire as many as 1,155 chemists, biologists, toxicologists, and other scientists at ORD, which is described as producing leading-edge research that informs policy. ORD workers based in Research Triangle Park said they have not had any communication regarding potential cuts from their supervisors in Washington, but the news reports, coupled with the recent termination of a handful of RTP-based probationary employees, has created a culture of anxiety, and some agency employees told TBJ they are already looking for other jobs. Others are holding tight but worried that the research they've built their careers on is in danger of being compromised and that the world will be less safe as a result. They're not alone. The effect of these cuts would not only be to lay off these people but to silence any dissent, said Jeff Gisler, program director at the Southern Environmental Law Center in Chapel Hill. The approach that this administration has taken is, if we don't do the science to understand how pollution affects people, then it won't be a problem. We know that's not true. Former EPA leader concerned. In his nearly 40 years of experience with the EPA, including as acting deputy administrator from 2014 to 2017, Stan Meeberg saw plenty of presidential transitions. Meeberg, now the executive director of the Andrew Sabin Family Center for Environment and Sustainability at Wake Forest University, said his time at the EPA was always business as usual, regardless of which party controlled the White House or Congress. But this time it's different. "This is not normal," he said of the first 3 months of Donald Trump's presidency. "The effect of the proposals that you're seeing are really, it seems to me, an effort to destroy the institution, and that's different from anything we've ever seen on a past transition." As ORD is the largest of the units working at the EPA campus in RTP, the cuts would be felt locally. ORD, alongside the EPA's Air Quality Planning and Standards Division and its National Computer Center, operates out of a more than 1 million square foot campus at RTP, the largest facility ever built by the agency. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, beginning with Lauren Onosorge's page, Transportation and Technology. Bermuda flight, a success so far. Bermuda Air, says ticket sales have been encouraging as flight approaches. With just weeks before Bermuda Air's inaugural flight at Raleigh-Durham International Airport takes off, CEO Adam Scott said ticket sales tell the story. "It's been a really great route for us," Scott said of the nonstop to Bermuda. "If the sales continue, it could mean more investment at RDU by the startup airline. Right now, Bermuda Air is launching at RDU as a seasonal, twice-weekly flight starting April 11. Scott said that if the flight is successful, he sees it as a year-round service, but that's just the start. "Based on what we're seeing right now, the real opportunity, the long-term play, would be to add more frequencies if possible," he said. Ticket prices for round trips in April were above $650 as of March 16. Scott said the new flight brings accessibility, as without it, travelers have to take connections, adding hours to a trip that is just 2 hours nonstop from RDU. Scott said RDU is unique for Bermuda Air because the route is attracting both business and leisure interest. "There's a lot of Bermudans that like to play golf," he said. Bermuda Air is a startup carrier that is steadily growing its network. Its third plane just came out of the paint shop, he said, and a fourth one will follow quickly. Bermuda Air is the island's first locally established airline and was founded in 2023, and it's not alone in seeing international opportunity at RDU. Just this week, Avalo Airlines, which recently launched nonstop flights to Montego Bay and Punta Cana, announced plans to debut a Nassau service out of RDU. And Breeze Airways has been open about its international ambitions at RDU. RDU continues to grow its passenger count following another record year in 2024. RDU saw nearly 507,000 enplaned passengers in January, up almost 7% from the prior year. Trump's beef with Canada could impact RDU flights. Souring trade relations between the U.S. and Canada could impact Air Canada's plans to debut a flight to Vancouver out of Raleigh-Durham International Airport this summer. During the airline's most recent earnings call, executives raised the possibility of cutting some of U.S. capacity should travel demand dip. Data released recently by Statistics Canada showed return trips among Canadians traveling to the U.S. by air were down 2.4% year over year. Unfortunately, RDU is like a lot of airports that may be caught in the geopolitical crosshairs of the dispute between the Trump administration and Canada, said Henry Hartefeld, president and travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, noting that travel numbers between the countries have taken a dip. "It would not surprise me if either WestJet or Air Canada and possibly both scaled back their plans to serve RDU, either by topping routes or reducing frequencies. WestJet is planning to start service to Calgary in June. More than 55,000 passengers boarded Air Canada jets in 2024 at RDU, a 7% drop from 2023, according to data from the airport. The airline, which serves Montreal and Toronto out of RDU, had less than 1% of the market share at the airport in terms of enplaned passengers. Wingo's AI startup has cash, seeks new deals. Entrepreneur Scott Wingo's new startup is now armed with $1.7 million and looking for deals. The e-commerce company is called ReFiBuy, a reference to the research, find, and buy cycles that consumers go through, Wingo said. It was co-founded by Channel Advisor veterans. Cameron Bowe is chief technology officer. Derek Conlin is chief operating officer. And James Frawley is chief artificial intelligence officer. ReFiBuy will create advanced APIs and SaaS products to solve problems using artificial intelligence. Wingo described it as building digital agents to help retailers and brands problem solve. Instead of outsourcing to IT teams abroad, they can have AI solve problems in-house. Wingo is hoping to match the success he had at Channel Advisor, which scaled to more than $130 million in annual recurring revenue. ReFiBuy is aided by a $1.7 million raise led by firms G20, Commerce Ventures, and Knoll Ventures. And finally, judge dismisses lawsuit against SAS Institute. A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit accusing SAS Institute of mismanaging retirement plans. A group of former employees filed suit last year against SAS, as well as its board and retirement committee, claiming poor decisions caused the value of a retirement plan to drop by hundreds of millions of dollars. SAS had asked to have the case dismissed. This month, U.S. District Judge James Deaver granted that request in the Eastern District of North Carolina, stating that the plaintiffs failed to plausibly allege a breach of fiduciary or otherwise lack standing. Defendants in their initial complaint accused SAS of failing to exercise appropriate judgment in scrutinizing each investment option to ensure it was prudent. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page, Higher Ed and Life Sciences. Duke looking for ways to cut costs. University healthcare system are bracing for impact of federal cuts. Duke University and its health system are looking for ways to reduce costs as universities face potential cuts in federal funding. Duke President Vincent Price has asked multiple Duke administrators to lead a university-wide strategic realignment and cost reduction planning process to identify measures that may be needed to support the private college's long-term operational and financial health. We're working to prepare for the possibility that the university will have to adopt new ways of operating in order to fulfill our teaching, research, and clinical care missions with reduced federal funding in the future, Price said in a message March 13. Duke Executive Vice President Daniel Ennis will work with Provost Alec Gallimore, Duke Health Doctor CEO Craig Albanese, and Mary Klotman, Dean of Duke School of Medicine and Executive Vice President for Health Affairs, to lead the process. Price did not say what specific measures the university would be implementing. In his message, Price said that university employees would receive additional information about this planning process. The Duke Chronicle, citing a follow-up email that went out to all university faculty and staff, said the university will immediately suspend capital spending, freeze staff hiring, and salary mid-year adjustments. The administrators added that these immediate steps will be followed by additional measures as leaders develop cost reduction proposals across the rest of the university, the Chronicle reported. The announcement comes weeks after Duke trustees voted to raise tuition for the 2025-26 academic year by nearly 6%. This puts undergraduate tuition at $70,265 and total cost of attendance, which includes tuition, fees, room and board, at $92,000. $42. Howell named new chancellor at NC State. NC State University will soon have its first new chancellor in more than a decade. The University of North Carolina System Board of Governors on March 18 approved the appointment of Kevin Howell to lead North Carolina's largest university. Howell will replace Randy Woodson, who will retire June 30 after 15 years. Howell, a 1988 NC State graduate, will become the first black chancellor in the school's history at a salary of $600,000. Howell was State's student body president and earned a law degree from UNC Chapel Hill. This university shaped my life in profound and generous ways, and I am honored for the chance to lead my alma mater, Howell said in a statement. NC State is a brilliant and inspiring place, just like the state we serve. There are exciting days ahead for the Pack, and I'm ready to make a difference. Howell was previously assistant to the chancellor for external affairs at NC State from 2006 to 2016 before later becoming the university's vice chancellor for external affairs, partnerships, and economic development. Howell was later chief external affairs officer for UNC Health. System President Peter Hahn said Howell is well suited to the challenge of maintaining support for the university's mission at a contentious time in higher education. Triangle firm merges with Indiana company. A Morrisville company with hundreds of employees is merging with another private equity-backed organization. The deal combines Mercalis, formerly TrialCard, with PharmaCord of Indiana to create a large company that supports biopharmaceutical organizations throughout the commercialization process. The combined company will be majority-owned by funds advised by Permira, a New York investment firm that acquired PharmaCord last year. The technology that we've invested in at Mercalis, paired with some of the operational excellence that PharmaCord has driven in their business, we think really represents an opportunity to do something transformational in this marketplace that we operate in, said Mercalis CEO Scott Dulitz. The deal is expected to close by the third quarter. PharmaCord CEO Robert Truckenmiller will serve as chief executive of the combined company, with Dulitz as president. Triangle Schools lauded for innovation. Three Triangle universities are among the top academic institutions globally in holding U.S. patents, according to a recent ranking. Duke, NC State, and UNC Chapel Hill landed in a ranking of the top 100 universities holding U.S. utility patents. This is an annual list from the National Academy of Inventors, comprising universities, governmental agencies, and nonprofit research institutes. Duke had the highest ranking, landing at number 24 with 111 patents. UNC was tied at number 62 with 57 patents, just ahead of NC State at number 64 with 56 patents. In the 2023 report, Duke ranked number 29 with 91 patents, NC State was number 60 with 53 patents, and UNC ranked number 94 with 36 patents. And now we turn to Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. Pie Shop lands in Oakwood space. Kristen Mullins moves to new location, adds capacity to create pies. Kristen Mullins has come a long way from the days when customers would pick up her pies from her parents' house and leave cash in their driveway. Mullins, owner of Slice Pie Company in Raleigh, is ramping up production for nationwide orders at her 11-year-old business. At the same time, she's moving into retail space in Raleigh's historic Oakwood neighborhood. After a three-year run on South Saunders Street, Slice Pie Company has moved to 606 North Person Street to share a 2,000-square-foot space with cake bakery Sugar Euphoria, owned by Randy Smith. She has space available and has been extremely warm and welcoming, Mullins said of Smith. Since Sugar Euphoria's forte is cakes and Mullins is pie, she thinks the overlap will create the best of the best bakery. Mullins said the new location near Crawford & Son Restaurant is ideal given the area's abundance of foot traffic. Mullins has also moved her pie production to a 22,000-square-foot facility in Graham. While the old Saunders location had the capacity to make 200 pies a day, capacity will now rise to 3,000 a day, Mullins said. The business is making several hundred pies a day now. Moving into a facility that has more square footage is going to be huge for us, Mullins said. The business, with 10 employees, ships pies to customers nationwide and also serves corporate events. Mullins has also traveled to Cleveland and Chicago and will soon go to Las Vegas to serve pies and help promote Raleigh tourism on behalf of the Greater Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau. Slice has also become a preferred third-party vendor for conferences at the Raleigh Convention Center and will have a presence at the center's coffee shop, Complex Brew. Paul and Jack Bakery plans third location after establishing their business in Wake Forest and expanding to Raleigh. Brothers Paul and Jack Matar, M-A-T-A-R, now opening in Cary. Paul and Jack Bakery and Cafe plans to open its third location this spring or summer at 1881 Lake Pine Drive in Cary at a retail center near the Apex Costco and a Harris Teeter off Highway 64. A Cape Fear Seafood Company location just opened nearby. The 1,530-square-foot space will have seating for 25. After taking over the former Layered Croissantier at 911 Northwest Street in Raleigh, Paul and Jack Bakery opened just weeks ago. The spot has been super busy since opening, Jack Matar said. Matar plans to hire 10 to 12 employees at the Cary Bakery. The brothers are self-funding the project. Raleigh Yoga Studio stretches to Durham. Emily Cools opened her first yoga studio in 2022. Now she's gearing up for studio number 3. The owner of Dose Yoga and Smoothie Bar signed a lease recently at the Novus, a luxury tower under construction in downtown Durham. And I should mention that's Dose, D-O-S-E, Yoga and Smoothie Bar. The tower is scheduled to finish construction during second quarter 2025. Kuhl's plans to open in October. Dose will be the third fitness tenant at the Novus, joining locally owned Cycle Studio Revel and Virginia-based Solid Core, a Pilates-inspired brand. Kuhl said urban areas are the perfect fit for Dose. I just love the culture of Durham. I feel like they're very community-based and very passionate about supporting local, she said. Kuhl's 34 has been co-owner at both 110 Yoga and Midtown Yoga. After selling her equity in Midtown Yoga, she waited out her non-compete agreement for a year. When Kane Realty Corporation reached out about opening at Smoky Hollow in downtown Raleigh, she made the plunge into solo ownership. Dose opened at Smoky Hollow in 2022. Last February, the studio added a second location at Kane's North Hills Innovation District. She'll bring on 20 to 30 full-time and part-time employees at the Durham location. Unlimited membership at Dose's Raleigh locations cost $139. And finally, women's shop to make move to downtown Cary. Ashley Hendricks, the owner of women's boutique Villa 19, is making the leap from Apex to downtown Cary. She plans to open in May at 157 East Chatham Street in the Rogers Building. The store will be next to Gentleman's Corner in Tandem and West. Gentleman's Corner in Tandem and West, and sushi restaurant Zest. The move to 1,300 square feet of space in Cary comes after 7 years in downtown Apex. With her rent increasing and a months-long project to reconfigure a parking lot, Hendricks felt like it was the right time to leave Apex. Our Apex store was charming, but it was really long and narrow and not the best traffic-wise for customers to be in and out of the store, Hendricks said. The Cary store is a perfect rectangle, so we're going to have a lot more space to play with. It'll be a lot more open, easier for people to shop around. Villa 19 had $350,000 in gross sales in 2024. And now we turn to real estate and development, this page written by Kaylee Thompson. Property once set for tower sold. Small slice of land on Harrington Street sold for a big price. A downtown Raleigh property where a 20-story tower had been proposed has been sold for nearly $2 million. Trailblazer Investments LLC, with an address tied to Tryon Solutions, bought a 0.13-acre lot next to the Fairweather condos for $1.925 million, according to Wake County deed records. The seller, Raleigh's Vistabution, had wanted to build a 20-story mixed-use building on the site, but the plan never came to fruition. There is a single-story office building on the site at 520 South Harrington Street, just south of the railroad tracks. Adam Downing, president of Tryon Solutions, said the building will be an office for the IT services firm. He did not provide further information. In 2022, Vistabution applied to rezone the property. It wanted to build a tower with 365 units, 38,321 square feet of office space, and 2,667 square feet of retail space. But the proposal received pushback from city council members and residents of the Fairweather condos. Eventually, the rezoning request was approved after being amended to allow for up to 12 stories of development and adding conditions. Vistabution CEO CJ Mann did not return requests for comment. No site plans have been filed for the property. The building there now is 4,160 square feet. It was built in 1968 and renovated in 2010. In November 2024, the property was put on the market for sale or for lease by APG Advisors. It has an assessed value of about $1.15 million. Vistabution paid $2 million for it in 2019. A collection of parcels in the same block has a rezoning and site plan approved for the 401 Cabarrus Apartments. The company behind the project, Elmwood Development, has applied for a demolition permit and is getting ready to start site work for the seven-story apartment building. Hundreds of units underway in Apex. A busy retail area in Apex is about to get a new apartment community with hundreds of units. High Street Residential, the residential arm of Trammell Crow Company of Dallas, has started site work on The Henley, a 370-unit apartment complex near the Beaver Creek Crossing Shopping Center. The developer received rezoning and site plan approval from the town of Apex in 2022 and 2023. In November 2023, the company closed on the land, paying $820,000. High Street Residential did not respond to requests for comment on a construction timeline and cost of the development. A release from Trammell Crow says the project will complete by late 2026. The company was part of the development team behind the 400H Tower in downtown Raleigh. The Henley will have 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. 13 units will be made available to residents making 60% or less of the area median income. A development notification submitted to Wake County Public Schools in 2023 shows the price range for the apartments will be between $1,000 and $4,000, while unit sizes will range between 750 square feet to 1,300 square feet. The apartments will be in 3 buildings, each 3 stories, on 20.73 acres. Industrial building sells for $16 million. A fully leased industrial building in Apex has been sold for more than $16 million to a New York firm that's on a buying streak in the Triangle. Lightstone acquired a light industrial building for $16.3 million, according to Wake County Deed Records. The property is Lightstone's 4th acquisition in the region in recent weeks. The building at 850 Lufkin Road is 100% leased with 3 tenants, Donley's Concrete Group, National Delivery Systems, and Tipper Tie 2. LM Real Estate Partners of New York paid $9 million for it in 2019. The combined assessed value of the 16-acre site and building is about $12.2 million. It was built in 1972, renovated in 2016, and has 16 to 20-foot clear heights, 10 dock-high doors, and totals 150,907 square feet. Already this year, Lightstone bought a former Pfizer facility in Durham for $41.1 million, a Clayton building for $13.1 million, and a Youngsville property for $10 million. And finally, moving company downsizes for a newer building. A local moving company has sold its large facility in pursuit of a smaller but upgraded location. Movin' On Movers paid $3.95 million for a flex building in Fuquay Varina, according to Wake County Deed Records. The building used to house Aviator Brewing before the brewery moved to a larger location. The building is more strategically located and meets the company's operational needs, despite being less than half the size of its location in Apex, according to a release from Colliers. The warehouse at 209 Technology Park Lane is 22,230 square feet and has a total assessed value of $1.96 million. The company's warehouse in Apex at 2425 Reliance Avenue has 47,874 square feet of space. And now we turn to the last reporter page, Dane Huffman's On the Coast. Swank boardwalk plans are paused. Atlantic Beach had big dreams for its boardwalk, but costs are a concern. Splashy plans for a boardwalk at a popular North Carolina beach are on hold. Back in 2022, Atlantic Beach planned a major makeover of its well-known circle, a magnet for Triangle beachgoers for decades. After a design competition with more than 50 contenders, the town picked the Catoonatuck architecture firm of Charlottesville, Virginia. Catoonatuck's concept was a sleek design to fit the aesthetic of the beach and included a 2-level boardwalk. But as the summer of 2025 beckons, those designs remain just dreams. It's still kind of on hold, town manager John O'Daniel said. We're trying to decide. The town had hoped to get a $500,000 grant to help cover costs, but did not. Given the escalating prices, funding the project for a town with an annual budget of $11.3 million would be difficult. That project will be $10 million plus to do now compared to $7 million when it was designed, O'Daniel said. The project is on hold at a time when interest in Carteret County is only rising. Home values in the market have soared, and the area will have a tighter connection to the Triangle when the bypass around Havelock is completed. The bypass has been delayed but is now scheduled to open in the summer of 2026. In the meantime, the town is watching revenue from a new third-party vendor for parking. Over a year, Daniel said, the program is netting roughly $500,000. With the summer season ahead, the town has renovated the current bathhouse, made some improvements as far as the Americans with Disabilities Act, and is weighing new options for the boardwalk that wouldn't be as aspirational and expensive as the 2022 designs. What we originally presented was a dream of what it could be, O'Daniel said. But you're probably looking at a smaller project with a new bathroom. Lennar buys 300 acres primed for hundreds of homes. A major home builder has purchased hundreds of acres in Brunswick County, meaning a new neighborhood with hundreds of homes may soon be on the way. Lennar Carolinas LLC, a subsidiary of Florida's Lennar Corporation, purchased 300 acres off Brick Landing Road in Shalit for $10 million last month, according to Brunswick County deed records. The seller is BRD Land and Investment of South Carolina. The vacant land is located along the Shalit River. Previously approved plans for the site indicate that a large neighborhood could soon bolster the rapidly growing county. Beloved Taco Stand closing on Outer Banks. A beloved Ocracoke Taco Stand will close after the summer. Eduardo Chavez of Eduardo's Taco Stand told the Outer Banks Voice that he plans to return to Mexico after 25 years in the U.S. He landed in Ocracoke doing construction but got into the food business. His food truck became a big business. Communication for me is kind of important just to be in touch with the customers, Chavez told The Voice. I mean, obviously the food is going to be important, but it really is our relationships with customers that make the business. And finally, Amazon building huge center near Wilmington. A massive Amazon plant is on the way near Wilmington as the company plans to hire more than 1,000 full-time and part-time employees. Amazon said at a recent groundbreaking, its first robotics fulfillment center in the region will be 650,000 square feet and will open before the 2026 holidays. North Carolina has proven itself to be a great place for Amazon to do business and gives us the opportunity to better serve our customers in the region, said Holly Sullivan, Amazon's Vice President of Worldwide Economic Development. At fulfillment centers, employees pick, pack, and ship orders as part of Amazon's First Mile network. The site at the Pender Commerce Park is along the line between the New Hanover and Pender counties. The development of this cutting-edge facility brings further diversification to Greater Wilmington's economic base and marks the arrival of a trailblazing employer with a proven track record of civic engagement and community investment, said Bill Rivenbark, chairman of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners. Scott Satterfield, CEO of Wilmington Business Development, called the move the single largest economic development announcement in regional history. Amazon pays frontline employees an average base wage of more than $22 per hour. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice section to read about Sonia Ebron. The headline, she provides a legal system guide. Sonia Ebron is integrating AI into Courtroom 5's offerings to make going to court more efficient and understandable. And this is written by Lauren Onasorge. In a closer look section with the article, family, wife, and co-founder Deborah Sloan, education, MS, NC State University, PhD, University of Florida, hometown Durham, first job, Jack Steakhouse, Raleigh. Sonia Ebron didn't want to spend the thousands of dollars it takes to hire a lawyer. She was accomplished and educated. As an electrical engineer with a doctorate degree, she thought she could figure out how to defend her position in court. But the complexities and minutiae were like a brick wall. There had to be a better way. Enter Courtroom 5, the startup she launched with her wife, fellow pro se litigant Deborah Sloan, in 2017. Courtroom 5 offers automated litigation support to help make everyday people feel confident in court, but much has changed over the past 8 years, the biggest variable being artificial intelligence. Instead of running from the AI wave, Ebron chose to embrace it, transforming Courtroom 5 with the times and, along the way, discovering an even bigger value proposition. Just the fast growth of that technology, it's been extraordinary, Ebron said of AI. So 2 years ago, the team started thinking about how to integrate AI. Courtroom 5 helps customers navigate a variety of cases, from child custody to civil lawsuits. AI is like a knife through butter, she said, helping translate complex documents to people who have never even heard of a docket. The accessibility it has brought allows Courtroom 5 to expand its market, Ebron said. People also stick with the solution longer, she said. Take a defendant who needs to respond to a new filing in court. The customer talks to the AI agent about what's happening, and the system helps decide options, explaining terminology. Once the customer decides on an option, they access a curated document journey. It can walk you through all the steps you need to make sure that document is as persuasive as possible, she said. That means explaining jurisdictional rules, something that can take hours to figure out on your own. It then helps customers analyze the facts so they can respond appropriately through a document, say a motion to dismiss. AI can even find case law to support your position. And Courtroom 5 can even connect you to an attorney to give you document a final glance. Right now, the company, which has raised about $1 million, is good on funding, operating remotely with its four-person core team. But as it grows, Ebron knows she'll likely need to raise more capital. And it's a challenging time for startups, particularly minority-owned firms. Early on, Courtroom 5 participated in Google for Startups, Black Founders Exchange, winning the grand prize out of 11 early-stage Black-led companies. Diverse entrepreneurship programs have always been few and far between, particularly now. Ebron said she had heard from fellow Black entrepreneurs that it is a really difficult time to be raising money through those kinds of initiatives. Right now, Ebron is forging ahead. The startup is already nationwide, something that is easier to do when you have AI crunching jurisdictional differences. AI has really removed the complexities for us, she said. The key to integrating AI into your startup, Ebron believes, is to not use it as an add-on. Make sure you've got the problem you've always been solving top of mind. The problem is still the problem, she said. The solution we developed to help people stand up to lawyers in these very tough cases is essentially the same, but the technology makes it so much easier. And we'll read as much as we can of this final article written by Kate Tracy. Steakhouse brings fresh twist to Briar Creek. Epic Chop House continues expansion in Raleigh with more to come. Raleigh's newest steakhouse is set to open early next month. Epic Chop House, which has three other locations in the Carolinas, will welcome guests on April 2nd in the former Brazza Brazilian Steakhouse in Briar Creek. Brazza closed in 2022. Rick Mack, founding partner of Epic Chop House, said the Briar Creek Commons Shopping Center was attractive for a number of reasons, including heavy traffic and a dense population. The 8,000-square-foot restaurant seats 265 guests. On Epic Chop House's online menu, a charbroiled tomahawk pork chop costs $31, while a prime bone-in ribeye costs $69, and a 28-ounce porterhouse costs $65. The restaurant will employ 60 to 70 full-time and part-time staff members. And it first opened in Mooresville in 2010. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.